Well, how many of you say grace or ask a blessing before every meal, asking God to bless your food? Most of you, not all of you. Before every meal? Asking God to bless some of the foods we tend to eat at times would be like asking for a creative miracle, but nonetheless, we should ask him. And occasionally, you come across somebody that has a blessing, and it takes a long prayer. A pastor friend of mine who's now with the Lord used to say, just pray over it, don't preach over it, you know. But how many of you grew up with a recited prayer? Something you learned as you grew up and you had to said that. And the truth is, we can say grace or blessing as a matter of routine, whether it's recited prayer or not. It's just a routine without giving it much thought. It's easy to lose sight of why we ask God for his blessings or what we do with that. For one, it's biblical to ask God to bless our food. Though the actual scriptural emphasis on food is more about thanking God for his provision compared to blessing the food itself. We see Jesus blessing his food, and by do so, he looks up to heaven and acknowledges the Father. The Old Testament helps bring some clarity, partly where we get it from, Exodus 23:25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. And notice what God's saying here. Serving him is the key, and in so doing, he takes it upon himself to bless your bread and water and your food and remove sickness from us. That's a wonderful verse, actually, isn't it? Sounds like a great arrangement, amen? Amen? You don't sound too excited about it, amen? As I said, we see Jesus blessing food in the New Testament, and we read this in 1 Timothy of chapter 4, verse 4 and following. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So praying over our food is biblical, it's Christian, though it's not distinctively Christian. In a book called 100 Graces, you'll find Christian prayers, Jewish prayers, Hindu, Buddhist, Indian, Celtic, Gaelic, Hebrew, monks, monastery, Quaker, and on and on. Some have specific ways of praying, palms on all the food, some lift the plates up, but there's all these different variations. Personally, I'm grateful that the Word of God gives us some direction and some understanding of how we approach this. Clearly, we are to acknowledge God, acknowledge his provision, recognize our continual submission to him, and proclaim his blessings over the food. I mean, he already promised to bless our food if we serve him. That said, this little introductory here, when we think about it, it's an interesting word, blessing. How many of you believe right now that you have God's blessing in your life? Absolutely. And we've looked at blessing over the years, different times. We've looked at it in the Beatitudes, but it's clearly an interesting word. How many of you desire more of God's blessing in your life? Absolutely. Are you sure that it's scriptural to desire more God's blessing? Is God in the blessing business? I think to be certain, God is clearly in the blessing business, and very much the way we think of, typically, is God blessing us. That said, I think it's wise to understand the multifaceted aspect to blessing. To understand blessing, how God sees blessing, what he thinks about when he wants to bless us as a people. I came across an article from the Wycliffe Bible Translators, just doing some research on something, and it didn't cite any author, otherwise I'd cite it, but I'm going to read an excerpt from it. It writes, blessed is a word that we often use to describe everything from a wonderful vacation with the family to a job promotion to enjoying a beautiful day, fall day, with the pumpkin spice latte in hand. In our minds, blessed probably equates to a comfortable life with good health, few problems, and special moments that make our days better. We are quick to add a hashtag blessed to our social media posts and to share with the world these good moments of life, seeing that many others do the same. If Jesus were to have a social media account, would we see hashtag blessed added to his post? Or does he have a different understanding of what it means to be blessed and therefore what it means to live a blessed life? The Beatitudes in Matthew 5 describe situations that are contrary to our belief that blessings are found in health, wealth, and comfort. In fact, they describe quite the opposite. Jesus shares about people who experience hardship, suffering, and even persecution, but who are living a blessed, abundant life because they're choosing to keep their eyes on Him. In the midst of whatever comes our way, whether good or bad, we can experience blessing. This mindset is counterculture to the messages we receive every day that blessings only come in good packages. But as Jesus preaches in the Beatitudes, we come face to face with a far different definition of what it means to be blessed. We'd like to argue that what Jesus is describing is the exact opposite of blessings, and if that's what it means to be blessed, count us out. They go on, Jesus' word challenges us to re-examine what it means to be blessed and to realign our definition with His. And according to His words and Beatitudes, we see that Jesus desires far more for us than what we desire for ourselves. We just need to focus on Him rather than our circumstances. That's what it is to be blessed, to be willing to pursue God with wholehearted abandon, even if it means encountering hardship or enduring suffering, because the pursuit of God is the blessed life. As we keep our eyes focused on Him, we'll discover all we need in Him. Now, as I said, I think blessing has a multifaceted aspect to it. There's different sides of it. You can't deny, when you look at the Beatitudes, what Jesus described at that point in His sermon about the blessed life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and on and on. So we don't always think about it that way. And we think of blessings and how we think of it. And I said earlier, the blessings of God in our life, that we think of the good things, that's part and parcel of what God wants to give us, and we'll see that. But I doubt if any of us would call what we are experiencing in 2020 a blessing. And I think it's pretty evident from our continual complaining about what's happening in our life right now. If, at the end of all this, we find that we've drawn closer to God, and I have encouraged from the time this began that we take this time to draw closer to God. We take this time of isolation and this time of hardship to focus more on Him. If at the end of all this we find ourselves closer to God in a deeper relationship, that indeed would be a blessing, would it not? Amen. And what if God wants you to use you as a source of light and blessing to others who are not coping so well during the season we're living this difficult time? Depending on the Bible translation, we'll see the word bless or blessing 522 times in the Bible. Sounds like a subject that comes up fairly often in the Word of God. And it comes up quickly. In Genesis chapter 1, the first book in the first chapter, we find the scriptural recording of creation. God created the heavens, the earth, light, day, night, the sky, separated the land and the seas, created vegetation, trees, sun and moon. And then we see this here in Genesis 1:20 and following. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and the sea, let the birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. It's interesting. This is chapter 1 in the Bible, and the very first creatures that God created, He blessed. He blessed them. A couple of verses later, we see this in chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. The image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Right in the beginning, you see God blessing. And it'd be good to understand what's happening here. In the Hebrew and in the original Greek, the word bless can mean to bless God with praise and adoration, to speak well of, to bless, thank, or invoke a benediction on someone, to prosper, to invoke blessings upon a person. Vine's dictionary says this, in the Beatitude, the Lord indicates not only the characters that are blessed, but the nature of that which is the highest good. In Genesis, God is speaking a blessing over them and pronouncing them and us to be fruitful, to grow, to prosper, and to multiply. This hand of God, this blessings of God, right from the beginning. And that's all good stuff. It's not just a hardship. In Genesis alone, we see God specifically bless the seventh day, Adam and Eve, Noah and his sons, Abram and Abraham, the same person, Ishmael, Isaac, and Jacob, that he spoke blessings over their life. Actually, throughout the word, God is a blesser. And what greater blessing can you have but God's? You know, we may ask somebody's blessing. Maybe ask somebody's blessing on a project or something you're doing. You know, you may ask your parents' blessing from their marriage. But, oh, the blessings of God. And he is a blesser. Now, as we travel through this crazy 2020, how many of you feel you could do anything asked of you, even endure longer, if you knew that God's blessings was upon it? Sure, I think so. If we know God's in it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but we're in the world and not of the world. We're here to have an impact in our world, regardless of life circumstances. In fact, I think God would argue even more so in these challenging times. We see example in Scripture, First Chronicles, a couple of different Psalms, of men crying out for God's blessings, asking God for his blessings. We see biblical examples. And perhaps in Ephesians, we find this incredible, wonderful promise. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? That you have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do we go through our life and our day understanding this and thinking this? Or do we go through our life complaining about the difficulties of 2020 and when's this going to be over? You know, we need to find a balance, don't you think? And what if you, I have to say, type that you put this on your mirror in the morning and you look up and you see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you, me, us, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. There are numerous specific blessings in the Bible. The Lord is a blesser. And if you know Christ, you are blessed. And if we acknowledge that God's blessings are in spite of ourselves, then we also must acknowledge that the blessings of God are pure grace. We don't earn his blessings, it's just by grace. Just knowing God, you are blessed. And the more you know him, the greater the blessing. We think of blessing or being blessed, we think of the blessings of God in and of our lives. We think of the good things, and well, we should. But there's more to just that. Blessing is not just one-sided. We think of God's blessing in our life. We seek God's blessing in our life. We want him to bless what we're doing. We want him to bless us if we're going through a trial. We want God's blessings, however we understand the blessings of God. But it's not one-sided, and all too often we act like it is. We focus on the blessings we receive from God. How about the other side? How about the side where we bless God? Is it possible? Can you bless God? No problem God blessing us, but us blessing God? Can you really do that? Sure you can. Look at Psalm 26:12. My foot stands in an even place, and that means some translations say level or solid ground. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. Notice you bless God in the congregations by just being in church. And it's part of coming in and being part of corporate worship and corporate fellowship and corporate submission to his word. And it's a blessing. God's blessed when we gather. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You bless God with your praise. Let's not be stingy with our praise to God. Psalm 63:3 and following, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Psalm 96:2, sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. And look here at Psalm 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Psalm 103:1, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And one more, Psalm 134:1-2. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who when I stand in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It seems that God is a blesser, and you can be too. I mean, that's pretty strong evidence that we can bless God. Sorts of ways of doing it. And this is the one thing that we truly have to offer God, blessing him with a mouth full of praise and a heart full of obedience, to know him and understand him, and regardless of the challenges, and it's not to minimize the challenges, but regardless of the challenges, to have a heart to bless God back, to bless him in worship and action and deeds. It's both a calling and an honor to bless God in your life. God blesses you, you bless God. But biblically, it goes even deeper. If one of God's attributes is to bless people, and we're to become Christ-like, and we are, one of our attributes, your attribute, should be a blesser. That you're a person that looks to bless other people. If you hunger for the blessings of God, and well, you should. If you are able to bless God, and well, you should. Why would you not also look to bless others around you? Has there ever been a better time in our lifetime than now to be a blessing to others? Aren't there many struggling and working hard to get through all this? What a time to be a blesser. It's biblical. In Genesis 30, we see Laban kissing his sons and daughter and blessing them. Leviticus chapter 8, we see Aaron and his sons ordained as priests. Then in chapter 9, after their ordination, they prepare a sacrifice for the sin and an offering for the people. And watch what they do here. Leviticus 9:22 and following. Then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, if you understand, from the presence of God, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. God was blessed and pleased with their obedience and agreement with their priestly blessing that they offered to these people. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. God saw this good, that they would bless the people. And the following verse is rather descriptive here. We see this in 9:24 Leviticus. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. There is nothing like the blessings of God in the presence of God. I don't want to miss that, do you? I want to be in a place where I can understand and sense the presence of God and the blessing of God. As far back as I can remember, I have closed every service with a blessing over you. I pray God's angels around you. It's a scriptural premise that I believe God is in agreement with and honors, to speak God's blessing over his people. Now, we saw earlier in the New Testament that Jesus blessed food. He also blessed people. In Mark chapter 10, we read this account where people were bringing children to Jesus. And the disciples rebuked it, and it's a strong word. They forbade the people. They turned them away. They were aggravated about it. How dare you bring these kids to Christ? And so we pick this up in Mark 10:13. People were bringing little children to Jesus and have him touch them. Isn't it a beautiful picture? I'm going to bring my child to Christ just to have Jesus touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." He took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. What a beautiful picture. Oh, Lord, that you would bless my children and grandchildren. Amen? That your hand would rest upon our kids and bless them. And what's wrong with you, by the way, laying hands on your children and grandchildren and blessing them? You have the right to do that. You should be doing that, speaking blessings over their life. Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph take 8-day-old Jesus into the temple for a ritual circumcision. You know, should you know the story, a man, Simeon, was there. He was righteous, devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him even in that day. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die before seeing the Lord's Christ. So he sees Jesus, the Christ. He lifts up the babe, praises God, and he blesses Mary and Joseph. You see this all throughout the Word of God. Here's this devout man blessing Christ's parents. Scripture also tells us that as Jesus was being taken up into heaven, he lifted his hands and blessed the people. Oh, but for the blessings of God on our lives, our families' lives, on our church, our congregation, and all we set our hand to. And Jesus tells us the things he does, we are to do also. You and I are called to be blessers. We should have an attitude of being a blesser. God honors our blessing, I think, more than we even realize. We know this interesting account in Genesis of Jacob and Esau. Isaac marries Rebekah. She has twins, Esau and Jacob. The Lord tells Rebekah that the elder will serve the younger, which is just the opposite of the day in the history. And the oldest, Esau, was a hunter, and his father, Isaac, loved wild game. He also loved Esau more than he did Jacob. Jacob tended the flock, and his mother, Rebekah, loved Jacob more than Esau. So you see this unholy, if you ask me, tension within his family. Isaac's about to die, and he wants to bless his son Esau before he dies. He calls Esau to him and tells him, "Go and catch some of the game that I love and prepare it, and when you bring it back and give it to me, I will pronounce a blessing over you." So his wife Rebekah hears this, and she tells her son Jacob, "Go out into the field, kill 2 young goats." He brings them back. She prepares the food to trick her husband into giving Jacob Esau's blessing. Isaac is blind at this time. He's not able to see who's before him. So since Esau is hairy, Rebekah puts the goat's hair on Jacob. And then she takes Esau's clothing that smelled like the field and put them on Jacob as well. And they fool Isaac, and Isaac blesses Jacob. Esau returns just right after that with the food, brings it to the father, and he finds out about the deceit and reveals it to his father Isaac. Genesis 27:33. Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came. I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed." Now, there was an incredible deceit in all of this. The Lord tells Rebekah that the elder son Esau would serve the younger brother Jacob. But Rebekah takes the matters in her own hands. Nobody here has ever done that, right? We think God's leading us in one direction, and we think we're going to give him a little hand. We're going to take things in our own hands, and that's what she's doing here. And it's incredible deceit. Isaac blesses Esau, but Jacob receives the strongest blessing. Now, God hated the deceit of Rebekah. In fact, their actions produced a harvest of tears and heartaches for years and years to come. When you read the story, there was a lot of loss. The family was horrible. Now, when you look at all this as a side note, Esau had given up his birthright and his associated blessing when he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew, if you know the story. I mean, he let his physical appetites guide him. It's a biblical example how we're to hold fast to what is truly important, even if it means denying the appetites of the flesh. That we're to follow God wholeheartedly, regardless. God hated the deceit of Rebekah, and yet he still honored Isaac and his father's blessing over him. Jacob. God would accomplish blessing Jacob without the deceit, and a whole lot of pain could have been avoided. But there is something about this blessing that holds true. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. See, and we see confirmation even here in the New Testament that God honors the blessing of his people. God honors you as a parent or even just a friend of somebody that can bless other people. But you can begin blessing now. You don't have to wait on your deathbed to bless somebody. I mean, I think I would probably love nothing better than to be with all my children and bless them before I quietly slip in to the Lord. I think the picture of that sounds good. I don't know how much they think about it, you know, but the whole idea of that. But why would I wait till then to speak blessings over my kids and my grandchildren or my neighbors? We recently found out about a neighbor of ours that's going to go through a very challenging time. Why can't we be an attitude of blessings and grace and peace to that individual? There are many ways that you can be a blesser. First, do it by be a blesser by doing. Jesus said, if you give as much as a glass of cold water, you'll be rewarded. It's an attitude of being a blesser towards others. There are many around you that need a hand and would be blessed by your assistance. And imagine if not only helped, but also spoke a blessing over them at the same time. You know, I remember years ago, a good friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, I forget exactly all the circumstances, but, you know, he had people coming over, and he said, you know, I want to pray for them and bless them, but I don't want them to think I'm weird. I said, let them think you're weird. Aren't you weird anyway? Bless them. You know, why you let what other people think derive what you're doing, what by God's calling you to do? Determine to be a blesser. Help and speak a blessing over the same time. Look for ways and opportunities, and it's not hard to find them in this crazy world we're living in. And don't just look for someone who deserves it, because that's the first place we're going to go. Bless somebody because you are a blesser. Bless by action, bless by spoken word. Bless with your hands, bless with your money, bless with your spoken blessings, and bless with prayer. And if you're scandalizing somebody, are you blessing them? We are quick to be a critic. We find fault in other people because it makes us feel better, or whatever, and we're all guilty of it at one time or another. And if we're doing that, is that speaking a blessing over them? You know, you may say, but wait a minute, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they did to so-and-so. Hey, their error is God's concern. Your concern is to forgive and bless. Your concern is to forgive and bless. You want proof? Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. I think we get that backwards. Amen? We get that backwards. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. You begin to see God's attitude. This may be easier said than done, true enough. But we all desire to be Christ-like. We all desire to be like the Heavenly Father. Do this that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That's how God looks at blessing people. And then finally, and not necessarily finally, but we cannot ignore the biblical law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We love this scripture to use when we're giving into the offering. I'm going to bless the church, I'm going to give, and God's going to bless it back to me. And that's scriptural. But this is just a biblical promise. Whatever you're sowing, you shall reap. Sow a life of being a blesser, reap a harvest of God's blessings. Sow a life of discord and murmuring and complaining, that's what you're going to reap. And look at this here. Psalm 109 talks about that, verse 17. He loved to pronounce a curse. May it come on him. He found no pleasure in blessing. May it be far from him. This is not a description of a godly blesser. In Proverbs 18:21, we've talked about this. I love this scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you're speaking blessings over somebody on a continual basis, you're looking for it, what does the scripture say to you? Death and life are the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Whatever you're speaking and using and saying, you come back and eat it. You reap what you sow, you eat the fruit of what you're sowing with your mouth. And we cannot ignore James 3, verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Now, just about time to close here, but I don't want you to check out. I want you to get this. Because I looked a little deeper into this idea of blessing this week, and I came across something in the Lexham Bible Dictionary. Helps us understand the biblical view of blessing. Let me read it to you. Bless and curse, the act of making a binding verbal pronouncement of good or evil on another person or persons. This is how it's biblically understood. The Hebrew root bless is widely understood as referring to health-creating power. Someone who is blessed is gifted with such power, while to bless someone is to bestow such power on them, often by means of a verbal statement. So you see, God sees blessing as not, oh, that's a cute little thing. The understanding in the root is health-creating power. To speak grace and health and blessings upon somebody, you have that ability. Death and life and the power of the tongue. You have the ability to speak that into somebody's life. Oh, I want the blessings of God in my life. I want to overflow with the blessings of God. But I don't want to be stagnant and just have his blessings come in me. I want his blessings to flow out from me. I want to be a blesser. I want to look for ways to bless other people. And I'm telling you, like I said before, I don't know of a better time in my life than right now. For those that aren't doing as well, that are struggling with it, I mean, we're all struggling in some way or another. None of us are not frustrated with this whole thing. But some are really having a hard time. It's time to be a blesser. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. But as they're coming forward, I have just a little short video we're going to pop up here and watch. And Mary, I don't think I mentioned it to you, so watch for the volume, please. blessed. Amen. Let's stand together and worship our God this morning.